Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Miranda. Good morning. Good morning. It is so good to be back. Last Sunday after church, we wrapped up our series, Home Sweet Home, and then left for camp, for our youth camp, and then we just got back like a day ago. So this was a wonderful week. It flew by way too fast, and the youth camp was phenomenal. Ty, you were there running the camera operator. It was so fun to see Ty, because anywhere in the room, you could always see Ty, because everyone was sitting down in the middle of like 400, 500 students. He was elevated on a table on top of a chair holding a camera, the HD streaming camera for the district. It's funny. And I'm glad, I'm not going to say it, but some people were having wagers of if you'd fall asleep and fall off your chair. I didn't join in. I just want to say I did not join in, but it was funny.
Thanks for sharing.
I know. I want to give you guys updates for youth camp, and that was a wonderful update. Man, happy Independence Day Eve, right?
Yeah.
Eve? Yeah. Independence Day Eve? Okay. Today is July 3rd, and today's message I just entitled Firework. Firework. Is there any, like, pyros other than myself growing up, or still a pyro? Thanks, Nadine, for being honest. All the young adults raising their hand. I just remember at one point as a child, I wasn't a child, maybe I was a little older, but my brother had found out that his friends were going up to, we lived in Oregon, and his friends were going up to Washington to go buy just a truckload of illegal fireworks. And I was like, no, I can't. And I was like, John, just go and here's some money. And so John went up to Washington and came back with probably the most fireworks I've seen in one location. Like, it looked like we could have opened our own stand. And it got to a point where we had to do the fireworks when our parents weren't home, and which, you know, there was like the afternoon time slot where they're both at work, like they would overlap, and then we're like, let's just light as many as possible, see what we can blow up. It'll be wonderful. And yeah, almost did a few times at the Russell household. But I remember it was so many fireworks that we had like a 30 to 45 minute slot each day except for Saturday and Sunday, and it took 3.5 months to get rid of those fireworks. So we had quite a bit. And so today, I wrote this down about a firework. The dark night is ripped away with light that brings joy, wonder, and excitement. It is a reminder that we have freedom. I started thinking about fireworks in relation to our 4th of July, our Independence Day. It's kind of like the response to the freedom that none of us worked for hundreds of years ago. What is that, 200 and change years ago? 1776? Is that wrong? Yes? Teachers nod? Okay. I mixed up that when Columbus sailed over, so I just, those dates aren't the same, but yeah, that one. And I was really thinking about, a firework is the response of the freedom that we already have. And I kept thinking about it, and I kept rolling it in my mind of, I wonder if there's a breakdown of the components of a firework, how they relate to us, of who we are in the freedom that Christ has given us.
Wow.
So, there it is. If you didn't know, I love just breaking things down and just being illustrative and looking at this. So, we have the choice to respond to the freedom Jesus gave us. Number one, the first part, I mean, forgive me, I'm not going to go down like a sparkler firework or like some kind of cheesy, you know, fireworks that we have out here in Ventura, this area. I want to talk about, can we talk about the real fireworks today? The ones where you light it and you don't stand within 10 feet or you're going to be missing a finger. You know, I want to talk about those kind of fireworks. And I want to talk about specifically the mortars. I did a lot of research on mortars, and it was like probably one of the most fun times researching a sermon I've ever had, watching things blow up on YouTube, and it was a wonderful time. So the first part of firework is the fuse. If you don't have a fuse, you don't have a way to light it properly. I mean, sure, you could probably toss it in a fire or something, but The fuse is the proper way to ignite a firework. You have to have a fuse. A fuse starts it all. You need a fuse to drive back the darkness. It's the initiation. If you feel like there's darkness or the enemy's just winning in your life, you need to start with having a fuse in your life. So what is a fuse? A fuse, check this out. A fuse connects the inner core of the firework to an external force. Right? The firework doesn't light itself. Someone has to walk up with a match and stick the match on the fuse to ignite it. An external force. Likewise, how do we have something in our life ready for God to come down that's connected to our inner core and for him to light our lives, to start us ablaze, start us to be excited about what he has in store for us? A fuse. It connects our inner core to God. A fuse sets everything in motion. I'd shared this this illustration up at camp. Did you know that... Thanks for bringing some fireworks. I sent a message out for some fireworks. I'm just going to put these up here. Get rid of this bag. You guys can just look at those. Please don't light it. Okay? Just kidding. Just giving a hard time, Karen. Just got the new roof on. I had read an engineer article, I think probably 7 years ago, and it was just so fascinating. An engineer was talking about a train on a track, and they said that if a train is completely stopped and someone takes a quarter and puts it in front of the wheel of the train, no matter how hard the train tries, it's impossible to move. Wow. It can never move forward from that. But did you know that same train in motion can go through a car and it really doesn't make a difference to the train? Like, it's crazy. That same train is halted by a quarter because it's not in motion. But when it's in motion, it can go through any obstacle, any barrier. I just want to apply this and switch this over. Have you ever felt just stuck? Like things just keep happening and you're like, seriously, God, I just need to move out of this. I need to move forward right now. The fuse is what gives us motion in the first place. The fuse is what can illustratively make the train start moving to plow through. You need something that will force you into movement. Once you light a fuse, I don't know about you, but I've never like lit a mortar firework. If you don't know what a mortar is, that's where they're in the tube and you light it. And then it's like a tube and then it shoots up about 1,000 feet in the air and explodes. That's the mortar. Okay, it's not these little guys. This isn't cherry bomb. This is the Ventura thing. But a mortar, you don't light a fuse and then just kind of wait and be like pretend this is a mortar. Wonder what's going to happen here. Like you don't do that. Right? You start moving. you start taking off. The fuse is what gets you into motion. It's what starts it all. It's that response that Jesus nudges you towards to have your life into motion. Because once, I was thinking about this, I've shared this before, but have you ever been laying down on a couch and like a TV show's on that you just really enjoy? And maybe you have a child that loves hiding the remote. I don't know. But it's like you're super comfortable on your couch, your program's on, and then it ends, and then like credits roll, and then the next program comes on, and you could like really care less what's on that channel. But you're so comfortable, you're just like, I guess. Murder, She Wrote, sure. Like whatever, you know, something else goes on and you're like, wow, really? And have you ever had that where it's just, you're so comfortable, but you're willing to just allow that thing to happen because you don't want to move? I think that's a Christian a lot of times. Like we could just settle for something we don't care about because it's easier to stay comfortable in our situation than move forward in fixing that situation. See, the fuse, once that's ignited, something's going to happen, right? Unless you're Zorro and you can like cut it off real fast. Flashback of that movie. Anyways, a firework cannot set itself off. It needs an external force. A fuse is the willingness to allow God to use you. That's what the fuse represents. It's saying, yes, God, use me. It's vocalizing it, verbalizing, saying, God, I'm here to be used by you. So once you say that to God, things start to happen. I remember I was a kid and I was sitting in church and I don't know if anyone ever remembers those old projectors. They're not like the new ones where they're digital, but they print it out in transparencies and then someone has to sit in front and they put their hand on the screen and move it. I always thought, I'm not joking, as a child, I thought that was literally God on the screen moving the words. Because it was like, we were at this big church and it was this jumbo hand that was like 100 feet moving the slide. And I was like, our church has God show up every Sunday for worship. And anyways, I was sitting in church and the pastor said, he had some missionaries, I think, from Africa, and they were talking about, and they're like, you can be called to go to Africa, and you're called, and you're called. And we're sitting there. I think I may have been 7 or 8, just super young. And we're saying to God, God, I'll do anything, but go there. That looks crazy. And I just remember in the back of my spirit or my mind, or just as a kid thinking, okay, I received that. I just remember feeling that from God. And fast forward years later, when I felt called by God, I remember God put that reminder in my mind that I had completely forgotten about. He's like, hey, guess what? You said yes, and I'm not sending you there. It's saying, yes, God, use me. Luke chapter 5, 1 through 3, we're really just staying in one story today, and I'm not having tons of sub-points on points on points. I'm just, sure, I'm not... But I'm just have 4 points with one scripture out of it. Luke chapter 5, 1 through 3. And it's the story of when Jesus comes up and he sees some guys fishing. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Did you guys catch it? Jesus was already at work, but asked if a couple guys would be willing to aid him in his work. All they had to do was just say yes. That's it. Would you be willing to help me out of what I'm already doing? It's not like you're going to be left alone. It's not like you're going to be abandoned. I just need some help. Are you willing to aid me in what I'm already doing? So he said yes, and he hopped in their boats, and they continued on what they were doing. You know, the decision to allow God to use you often revolves around trust. What areas do you need to start trusting God in? So our lack of saying yes oftentimes is because we don't know if we can trust God. That's like scary. It says that they wanted him to go out into the deep area of the water. Now for some of us, that's already scary. It's like, well, I'll do water like kiddie pool, but not the deep part of the ocean. You know, Jesus keeps pulling us, saying a little bit farther. I'm already at work and I just want you to be part of what I'm already doing. So many times people say no because of a lack of trust in God. And I just wrote down 3 things that, okay, so maybe a little bit of points on points. 3 things where we have trouble trusting God. Those 3 are often finances, time, and comfort. Now it's easy to say, man, God, I really want to be used by you, and he'll oftentimes tug on the area that you don't trust him in. That's the crazy part about God. Like, he already knows our innermost secrets. He already knows our life, and he says, I want you to trust me more than you trust this thing, because this thing will let you down every time. Trust me in this. Again, the fuse represents the decision to go after all the things that God has for you. It's that choice saying, remember, I just love that idea. The fuse is always connected to the innermost aspect of the firework. Because from the core, that's where everything reacts and emanates. A fuse never just goes to like the edge and just taps the edge. No, it has to go to the inner core because it has to combust from inside out, not outside in. It always connects to the very center of the firework. Likewise with God, he always wants to connect to our heart every time, the innermost part of our being. All right, number two. This is the technical term for fireworks. I didn't make up this. Lifting charge. Lifting charge. It's on the screen if you need to know how to spell it. Lifting charge. So the fuse is directly connected to a concentrated, dense amount of black powder or gunpowder. What this does is the lifting charge, once the fuse ignites all the way down and it hits the lifting charge, it propels the firework straight up and places the firework where it needs to be. Without a lifting charge, you would be seriously injured because the firework, it would explode in your direct line of sight, right? Has anyone ever seen a misfire of a firework up close? That's scary. That's really scary. Whose house were we at when that one went off? I think Tavares' house. Oh, you guys know Tavares. Yeah, we were at the Tavares' house and someone had put the firework in upside down, the mortar in upside down, and it shot and it was like the tube was all going like this, and then it tipped over and the firework shot up 2 feet before detonation while we're all in our lawn chairs. It was everywhere through the crowd. It was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen in retrospect because I didn't get hurt. But at the moment, that was really scary. Was she born yet? No, okay. I was trying to think, like, what do we do? Light another one. The lifting charge. This is one of the most important aspects of the firework because it has to take the firework from this level to that level. It has to transport it from one level to the next. Does that make sense? The firework has to be moved into a new location to fully go off in the right way so someone doesn't get hurt. Likewise, when God connects with you and has contact, you're at one level in your life and his goal is to get you to the next level. Right? God loves you so much to meet you where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. Right? His goal is to get you to go to the next level. Because when he connects with your core, he'll transport you. This is another fact about the lifting charge. Do you know when the lifting charge detonates, actually about a quarter of it has to be sacrificed in order to get up there? A quarter of it is lit on fire, and that's what propels it like up into the sky. 25% of the firework is gone when it gets to the next level. And I was just illustratively thinking about oftentimes when we're going to the next level and when we're in our lives, we're trying to get more of this or go after this, or we want to work on our marriage, right? And we want things to happen. Sometimes we have to make a compromise or a sacrifice, right? Sometimes I don't think a marriage would be just all roses and daisies if one person got their way 100% of the time. Yeah. Right? Right? Right, Patty? If it's your way, I see how it is. There's oftentimes sacrifice that comes with the compromise. In our lives, and is there something that's just holding and weighing you down from getting to the next level? Sometimes that very thing that's holding you down is like jet fuel to propel you to the next level. And I just thought, is there like some dead weight in your life that, man, you know, I don't need to do this anymore. This doesn't need to be part of my life. I heard this once and I loved it. And I've never forgotten. It's just one of my favorite things. Okay, here's a math problem. Joe, you got this. Joe loves math. All right. So you have two trees, okay? And you have one tree that's covered in bananas, and you have another tree with 10 monkeys, okay? Seven monkeys decide to go to the banana tree. How many monkeys are left in this tree? Three? Everyone's three? I said 10 monkeys to start with. So wait, so three monkeys are in this one?
Three.
No, it's 10. Because just because you decide to do something doesn't mean you actually do it. Oh, love that math problem. See, number two, the lifting charge, is the response to the decision of the fuse. It's more than just saying, yeah, I'm going to do this. It's actually doing it. Remember our motto for our church? Make the change, be the change. It's doing something with that decision. Man, I'll tell you, nothing frustrates my wife more than me telling her I'll do the dishes and not doing them. Nothing. So next time, do what you're going to say. Are you willing to follow through with your decision? I totally switched this in my notes, but I'm going to read the verse first. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." See, they had up to this point made a decision to go out with Jesus and say, "Yes, we'll take you out." But now Jesus is saying, "All right, now put some work into your decision that you said yes to." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down my nets." Remember, I love this scene because they didn't catch anything all night. They're already frustrated. They're already tired. Remember, they're catching fish for money for their family. Like, if they don't catch fish, they don't provide food that next day because they don't have refrigerators. You have to buy food. So they spent the night not catching anything, and then they had to wash out their nets the rest of the night. And now Jesus says, "Okay, let's go back out and try catching again." And they're like, "We just finished cleaning up. Are you kidding? We have to clean up again after not catching again?" Just like insult to injury. So verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Man, are you willing to step up to the decision you make with Jesus? He has so many things planned for all of our lives. And it's really just reliant on us following through with what we say yes to those decisions. Man, I've seen some crazy miraculous things in my life. I think one of my favorite things to this day of seeing was there was this woman who had asked for prayer at the church I used to be at. And she was just having severe problems with her kidneys, and they had to remove one. So she had the scar on her back, and then the other one was not shriveled up, but it was just, when they get like shriveled up and stuff.
Yeah.
And so she came in, she's like, "Can you guys just pray for me?" And one of the pastors is like, "You know, I think we should pray for complete healing." And so we prayed over her, and she was just like, like something hurts. And so the pastor's like, "You need to just go to the hospital and get an x-ray, find out what's going on." And so they x-ray her, and she had come back next week and was just like, "Hey, I brought my x-rays from 3 weeks ago, and I brought my x-rays this week." And it was crazy because 3 weeks ago, there was this one kidney that was kind of shriveled. And then the most recent one, there was two full kidneys that weren't shriveled at all. It's craziness. Like following after God and just saying yes, you'll see some things that you just don't see on TV. I was thinking about this. Have you ever had a rock in your shoe? The worst. As my daughter would say, whenever she says something she doesn't like, she's just like, "And this happened, the worst." Funniest 5-year-old ever. A rock in your shoe. Piper thinks it's hilarious too. A rock in your shoe versus under your shoe is drastically different, right? Right? It's in your shoe, you're going to like, are you serious? And eventually you're going to stop and take it out. Versus under your shoe, you're not even going to notice. You're just going to keep on walking by. What I'm trying to get at this is oftentimes you'll make a decision, but it's going to be like a rock in your shoe until you take the time to take it out. And you'll just keep thinking about it and keep thinking about it and keep thinking about it and keep thinking about it. What's the decision that God has placed in your heart? What's your fuse? What's the thing that God is saying, man, this is connected to your core. What am I calling you to do? I love the pastoral staff of this church. One of our favorite things is just talking about callings and purposes. And one of our classes we have at this church, it's a one-on-one class. It's just discovering your purpose and your calling from God. That's it. If you're interested, I'm not preaching on it anymore. Come talk to me. I'd love to walk you through that. The lifting charge represents following through with your decision to allow God to use you. Number three. Everyone say number three.
Number three.
Nice. You sound awake. You sound caffeinated. It's great. Number three. It's called the bursting charge. Bursting charge. Bursting charge. So the fuse goes in and it hits the, what's the second one called? Lifting charge. I had bursting charge in my head. The lifting charge shoots it up. And then the bursting charge is time delayed. Time delayed. It happens last. It explodes with pressure outward, but it also reacts to what they call stars. Stars are the dead beads that are sitting inside that just are lifeless and dead until they react to the bursting charge, and that's the light that we see, are the stars. I'll get to that last, that's next. So freebie on point four, you can write that out. But bursting charge, it's what puts into place everything that it's connected to and also reacts and brings life to these dead stars. Okay, let me bring this over. This one's kind of a lofty one to grasp onto. So I'm just going to read it. After lifting charge is completed, the bursting charge is ignited. Once the firework is in the right location, the bursting charge reacts with the stars and places the particles of light in the right places. It's one thing to talk to someone about God or pray for them, but it's another entirely to place them where they need to be. Luke chapter 5 continues on with the story. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed after him. It's one thing to say yes and to follow through, but it's another thing to be in the right place at the right time, right? Can I illustratively explain this? Have you ever not been inside the grocery store and put groceries inside of your shopping cart? Like, have you ever stood on the outside of Winco and there's all your groceries appear inside your cart magically? That doesn't happen, right? You have to be inside Winco to be able to access all the different components, right? You have to be inside school to go to all the right classes. Right? There's first an initiation of getting there, but then the second is all the nuances of that location. It's so significant to be in community, in churches, and in your daily life. Because once God starts propelling you, say yes to Jesus, you follow through with it, and then all of a sudden you're placed in the right location at the right time, and when you impact people's lives, their lives are impacted from coming in contact with you and sent out as like beams of light, just like a firework. That bursting charge is your communication with people around you that might feel dead and lifeless and alone, and when you react with them, they're sent out as like lights in the darkness, just like a firework. I was talking about this with a lot of pastor friends this week. Isolation is one of the major tools of the enemy because it keeps you from community that lives won't be changed. Isolation. Isolation. I really believe that one of the aspects of how to break isolation is just following through with the first two steps. We're just saying, God, you know what? Use me today. If all you do is go to like a Starbucks for that day or wherever, I love coffee, so I always have coffee references. If that's it, make it the best. Say hi to someone there. Just, I was at Starbucks studying for the message this week, and there's this lady holding her daughter, and the daughter was just like crying and crying and crying, and I'm like studying, and she was like right next to me, and I was just like, man, you have such a cute daughter. And to not be creepy, I had to follow it up with, I have a daughter who's 5 now. They grow up really fast, don't they? Like, you know what I mean? You gotta make sure you say the right things. And it was so funny because you could just see her face was just like, if you've ever been around a child that's just like going after it, you know, we have 2 kids and they're crying in public and it's just like, it's awkward. You know what I mean? It's just weird. And you could just see her face like, make the drink faster. And I talked to her and I was like, man, you just have such a cute daughter. I'm like, they grew up so, and we started having this conversation and before you know it, her face was completely smiling and excited, and she was just like, man. And so I was just like, have a great day, you know, God bless. And it's those moments that interactions with people that you can transform lives, you know? I just want to challenge you. As a firework, the bursting core, it only works when it's in the right place at the right time. Can I follow this up with a statement? There's nothing more awkward than trying to force this to happen when you're not in the right place at the right time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You got to say yes to Jesus first. And he has to propel you to the next level. That feeling of, man, I'm going after this. I'm in movement. I'm growing with God right now. And he'll start positioning you in places to impact lives. These, I call them divine moments. All right, number four. Stars. This is just the general term that all, I call them cool fireworks, but illegal fireworks. They're oftentimes like squares or circles or balls that surround the bursting core in gunpowder. All right? They're dark, they're lifeless, they're dead. If you've ever been to, Disneyland, and you see those like everything explode out, the stars are the only thing you actually see. You know, sometimes they add in small stars in the bursting out core so that you see a streamer go up, but a lot of times whatever light you see is just from the stars, nothing else. So the tail, when you see it, that's because they have really small stars in that thrusting or bursting core. I'm getting all the terms confused in my head. Let's explain it. So the stars are ignited and naturally react, being sent out, creating light in the darkness. You bring light to this world by who you react with. Luke chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Same story. I just want to finish it off. This is the ending to what happened. So you have Jesus go out, and these guys respond to him, say, yes, Jesus, we'll go with you. So they go out deeper, and he says, hey, I want you to follow up with your decision. They do it. Then he says, stay with me. Touch lives. So they start going, and then the next part of the story, it almost seems like it's a different story, but it's not. It's connected. So he gets these guys, they follow after him, and then this is immediately what happens. Jesus reached out and touched him, saying, I am willing. He said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. So there's a man with leprosy standing right there. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone, what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. I like thinking about this guy kind of like one of those streamers of light of the firework. No matter how much you try to hide it, it's really hard to hide a firework in the night sky. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like how many fire, is anyone else hearing all the fireworks happening at nighttime right around here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is crazy. Like you'll be sitting there and we just get London Ollie in bed and we're like, okay, we love you. Have a good night. Boom! You know? I'm like, we love you again. Go to bed. Last night, Ollie woke up at like 2 a.m. just like crying, and I told him, I'm sorry for lighting the fireworks. I'm just kidding. It wasn't me. I'm joking. It's like the streamer of light. Because when you react with someone and their life is uplifted and changed or healed or something miraculous happens, you can't hide that. It's like a firework in the sky. Their life is literally changed from that moment forward. I wrote this down. Some of you have felt like darkness has crept in and loneliness, depression, and maybe even suicide. So that's all you see is just flat darkness. But again, those are symptoms of isolation that the enemy is forcing you into. How do you break the darkness? By interacting with people around you. Isolation is a cause by thinking you're not worthy, oftentimes. I've seen about this. I shared this up at camp also. Did you know when a penny is made, it's like embossed and stamped with its worth right on the front? Front cover, boom, you're worth 1 cent. But did you know what's inside the penny is exponentially worth more than what's stamped on the front? The time to manufacture, the storage fees, the graphic designer, the everything added in, the worth of the metal weighed out. Everything is exponentially worth more than one penny. It's staggering. A penny internally is worth far more than what the world has stamped on surface value. Come on, that could preach all day. Isolation is the enemy stamping what you're worth on the outside. And the goal is to see the worth of what you are on the inside. God has so much in store for you. You are worth so much more than what the world wants to stamp you as. Remember, the firework is a response from the freedom that came before. Likewise, you have an opportunity to respond from the freedom Jesus already gave you. What are you going to do with it? Is your Independence Day a blank, empty sky? Or is it going to be filled with everyone you interact with? Saying, God, you gave me freedom. You set me free from everything. I'm going to be in heaven one day with you. I love everything you're doing in my life, but I want to pierce the darkness by seeing people's lives changed. I want to show a video in just a moment. That's my acknowledgement to Ty to get it ready and queued up. But I wanted to preface it. One of my pastor friends had put this together. It's a clip from Passion of the Christ. And I just want to forewarn, it is graphic. So if you don't like graphic things, maybe don't look at the first half of the video. But it's literally what Jesus went through. And it gets me every time because it shows a glimpse of his mom standing there and seeing. And it's going back and forth. And I want you to watch it in preparation for communion in just a moment. With this idea, Jesus gave so you can go. You can go into the world and see lives change. You can go into the world and be like that firework, light up the sky. You have the opportunity. You are worth so much to Christ. He died on the cross just for you. That's it. So would you take a look at the screen? And again, it starts off graphic, and just check it out, please. You gave so we can go. You gave so we can be this little example of a firework and interact with people in this world and change lives. God, you love having us join into the mission that you're already doing. Lord, I just pray that we grasp that today. We are not alone. We are not in isolation. We are in community. That your desire is to be impacted and changed forever. And I pray that tomorrow and even tonight and probably the next 2 weeks as people are blasting fireworks into the sky, that every time we hear one, see one, we'd say, man, that is who we are in the kingdom of God. That is the exact depiction of what God is asking me to do, to impact lives around me and have light piercing the darkness. With your eyes closed, if you're saying, man, I need step one. I need Jesus in my life. I need to rededicate this. I need him to come into my life. I feel like I've been so far away for so long, but today's the day I'm making the decision to go after it. To follow through with my decision. If that's you and you're saying yes, can you just raise your hand real quick and I just want to pray over you? Okay, I see a hand. Amen. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Lord, I pray for the life to be changed. Saying yes to Christ. Step into it. Just keep your eyes closed for a second longer. We're going to enter into this time called communion. All it is it's just a illustration, a glimpse, and a reminder that he gave so we can go. We're going to have bread passed out to each table, and you're going to break the bread together, and we're going to have juice passed out, and you're going to take it together during this worship song. Just as a reminder, just like the video was, he gave so we can go. He gave so we can go. Just as a challenge this week, and if you just feel like you're frustrated alone, just keep saying that, man, he gave, I can go. If you're standing in Starbucks and you're not talking to anyone, he gave so I can talk. He gave so I can have conversation. He gave so I can make a disciple. He gave so I can share him. Take the first step today. David, would you come forward and pass out communion?